because though there are storms all around us, we can find comfort under the shelter of your almighty wing. We praise you for your goodness. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you that you are so close.
When he hung there, he was separated from God, and all the sin of the world was put on him. And I told you my experience of asking God what this is all about, and he gave me just a brief thing, and it was absolutely devastating. We've talked about the Passover, we've talked about the history, we've gone right back in to get an understanding of what communion is all about. We've talked about all the places that all over his body that Jesus bled as he approached and died on the cross. So we've had a lot of things to think about. So when we think about it, it's really personal. It's you. It's you and God. Nobody else is important at this time. It's you and God. And you have to be in that position where you accept what Jesus did for you. Because if you accept that and you accept life, you know where you're going. But for those people who reject it, most of them have no idea where they're going. And they're not going to a good place. So as we take our communion this morning, let's think about it. Let's think about what was done for us and why it was done. It's not an easy thing. It was a hard thing. It's the most terrible death that there has ever been, was that crucifixion. And Jesus did it, and he was looking down through history. You know, it was almost 2,000 years ago, 8 years off 2,000 years, so 1,992 years ago, Jesus died on that cross. And he was looking at you, Patty. And he was looking at you, John. And he was looking at you, Chris. And he was looking at you, Andy. He was looking at all of us. He could see everybody right down through history. And it didn't only just pay for sins that came after. He paid the price going right back. And as you read the Passover story, you find, and I've given you this before, but just to remind you, without the shedding of blood, so there has to be a sacrifice, there is no remission for sins. So anybody who doesn't accept what Christ did on the cross and when he shed his blood, there's no forgiveness for their sins. They're lost. So as we take our communion this morning, I'm just going to read you two things that are the traditional Jewish blessings for communion or for Passover. So the first one is for the blessing over the bread. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. So Father, as we take this morning, we remember the body that was broken on the cross for us, for each one of us individually. Jesus did it for everybody. So as we take this morning, let's remember what happened and why it happened and say, thank you, Jesus. And then the blessing of the wine. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. So as we take this, let's remember the blood that was shed for us. That because of the shedding of that blood, we have remission for our sins. Our sins are forgiven. We are washed absolutely white as snow because of what Jesus did on the cross for us. Let's take the wine together.
Hallelujah. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Awesome. We're awake this morning. I like that. Come out this way then, Margaret, while I try and figure out what I'm doing here. There we go.
Good morning, church. This morning, and the word is freedom. I sense that there is such a freedom on every individual. Every individual here is free to express themselves in the gift and calling that God has given you. And it's just washing over everybody. But take it home with you. Don't leave it here.
Hallelujah. Take it home with you. Isn't that important? Thanks, Nick. Who's had a good week? Who's had a challenging week? You can put your hand up, Chris. Some of us have had a challenging week, but it's been a good week at the same time, hasn't it? We're going to talk about Thy Kingdom Come today, but first I just want to address what happened yesterday in Sydney. Don't accept the excuse, church, of mental illness. Do not accept that. It's demonic. Yeah. The same spirit that caused that gentleman yesterday to stab all those people is the same spirit that works through Black Lives Matter, Gaza, supporters, LGBTQ, all that stuff. It's the same demonic spirit. Which one was that one? Domestic violence, yes. It's the same spirit. So please let's not accept what the newspapers are going to come out today. I haven't seen them yet, but let me tell you, they will say it was mental illness. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish. It's demonic because the church has not stood up over the last, I don't know how many decades. So church, my challenge to you this morning is if we want to see this, we need to stand up. We have an event on in just a few weeks' time, a couple of months' time, over the road here, where people can come to the Lord. But how are they going to get there if we don't stand up? Amen. People look at the church and go, why would I want to go there? Because they do the same stuff I do. It's time to wake up, church. If you've got friends and families that aren't in church and they say they're believers, grab hold of them and give them a bit of a shake because they're asleep and they're deceived. They need to be in church. And that's not my message today. But I just want to give you that warning. You'll see it. It was mental illness. The poor guy. Yes, the poor guy, but it was demonic. Let me gather my thoughts for a moment. The theme that we've started a few weeks ago is the Master's recipe for effective praying. Who was at our Wednesday night intercessors meeting? I wasn't. Apparently I missed something awesome. I heard all about it. Myself and Carolyn, we're going to have to maybe go next time, right? We missed out. Who went to the upper room on Friday night? It was something different, wasn't it? We touched heaven. Hallelujah, the Lord's doing something. And yesterday as well, at the Garden of Eden. God is moving. Seems to be everywhere that Nick and Sue go, God moves. Hallelujah. So today we're going to talk about thy kingdom come. So the Lord's Prayer is what we've been working through. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, that's what we're up to. It's 66 words. That's all it is. That is our model prayer. Not, Lord, I really want a new car. Or, Lord, gimme, 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 gimme. It's not, you know, blab it and grab it. That'll be being preached in some churches this morning. You know what I'm talking about here? I just feel there's someone going to give $1,000 today and you're going to be blessed. Rubbish. But if anyone does want to give $1,000 today, they're welcome as well. You know, as a church, we had our biggest offering ever. A gentleman contacted Pastor Amanda this week from overseas and said, I've been blessed by the Lord and he's told me to bless you and two other ministries that we're associated with. How good is that? So we don't need to ask for money. The Lord directs people. But while we're on that, let's pray for offering before I go too much further. I didn't realize I was leading into that. If you've got your seed there and you're ready to sow, grab onto it. The boxes are out the front. You can tap and go if you like. You can just see Sue for that later on. Well, let's pray. Father God, on this day, when there's so much darkness in the world, we still gather to celebrate your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I pray, Father, that many of us call him our Lord as well. Lord, give us the grace to truly celebrate. We celebrate your loving concern for us today, Lord. We celebrate your willingness, Lord, to share life with us. We celebrate your identification with us, Lord. And we celebrate your redemption of us. On this day when so much attention is focused on what's going on in the world, Father, may we think primarily of the gift of your Son and of his sacrifice that gives us eternal life. And of your abiding presence through the Holy Spirit that gives us meaning of life. Father, we offer our gifts to you today. Please accept them, Lord, and bless them and strengthen each one of us with the gift of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So the boxes are out the front if you want to sow. Don't we all need that gift of grace, just that little bit more? Or maybe it's just myself and Nick. Maybe we just need that gift of grace. Everyone else has got it, Nick. You can hear Pastor Amanda laughing. She may need it. She's got it. That's right. So the text we're going to work through today, if you're a little wondering what I'm doing, I'm controlling this from up here. Just trying something different. Texting and concentrators, Matthew 6:10. In fact, let me just... Before I do that, can I read you Matthew 10:16? The Lord gave it to me during the prayer meeting this morning. It says, behold, I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. How's that sound? Who's ready to be sent out as sheep among the wolves? We do love it. Sheep bite, you know? Anyone been bitten by a sheep? I have. And they buck. So when the wolf tries to get us, we can bite back, can't we? Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, but beware of men, for they will hand you over to the councils and flog them in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they hand you over, do not worry about how to respond or what to say. In that hour, you will be given what to say. Amen. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. Hallelujah. Amen. Did I not prophesy at the end of last year we will see bloodshed in our streets? It started yesterday. So get ready. Let's bite back. Let's buck them a little bit. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Who's prayed that? Who believes it? Who's still waiting for it? Because we can have it now. Your kingdom come. I wonder whether there's some ministers in this city that choke on that when they pray it. Did I say that out loud? Because Pastor Amanda's got a fair bit to say over there. That's why we don't give her a microphone when she's over there. On earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we want? Not in heaven as it is on earth. So today's scripture reading is going to be in Romans 14, 13 through to 23. Let me read it for you because I'm a generous pastor. But if you've got your Bible there, open it up. Don't we need a spirit of generosity in the church? I'm talking about church worldwide. And I'm not just talking about giving, but generosity in receiving as well. Romans 14, 13 says, "Therefore," so there was a before, "let us not judge one another anymore." Ooh, what a place to start this morning. "But rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or cause to fall in our brother's way. I know and I am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean in itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. But do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." I have no issue eating pork. But when we have people over for dinner, I ask them if they eat pork. Because I don't want to be a stumbling block for them. That's what this is talking about. Let's not be a stumbling block for our brothers and sisters. Let's not make so many rules that people can't step up to them. "Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Do we need more righteousness? It's a bit of a dirty word in some places. "For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men." What a great goal that is. "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." The things that make for peace. Make peace. Peacemakers. Not peacekeepers. We went through that a few weeks ago, didn't we? We need to be the ones making the peace. "Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food." You can replace food there for whatever you like. "All things indeed are pure, but if it is evil for the man who eats with offense, it is good neither to eat nor drink wine, nor do anything by which your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak." Do you have faith? verse 22. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. Sometimes we condemn ourselves, don't we? But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for whatever is not from faith is sin. Have you ever doubted God? That's sin. That's what that verse is telling us. If you doubt God, that is sin. If you pray for someone but you don't think they're going to be healed, that's lack of faith, which is sin. Does that change how we're going to pray? It certainly should. The introduction of Matthew presents Jesus as the King of the Jews. And I believe it is truly the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus' whole Sermon on the Mount is to be seen through that relationship, that he is the King of the Jews. And in the midst of his sermon, our Lord gave his disciples a model prayer. A model prayer. And the second petition in that is, thy kingdom come. Your kingdom come here, Lord. The word thy, we don't really hear that, do we now? Unless we read the King James Version. Calls our attention to the nature of the kingdom. It's the kingdom that belongs to and comes from God. It is not our kingdom. I said a few weeks ago, we need to stop as a church worldwide having all the information, having everything coming down from the citadel, down from the cathedral. That is wrong. Everything we do must be coming from the marketplace, from the bazaar, from the masses. We must be lifting it up. You all have a voice. Can't hear them at the moment, but you all have a voice. So who is the head of a denomination? Who is the Pope to tell you what to do? I don't believe him either, Simon. But the head of a denomination, who are they to tell you how to live your life in Christ when you've got this and you've got a relationship with him? This is the change we need to see. Too many have put their faith in pastors. Worse still, prophets, spelt with an F, not a PH. The kingdom of God is the dynamic reign of God the King. Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God existing in both the present and the future, didn't he? He affirmed to his disciples that the kingdom of God is within and among you. What did Mark Johnson preach here just a few weeks ago? It's in you. We run around looking for portals to heaven, but it's in you. Everything you need is already in you. You need to let it out. What does our good friend Bruce say? Release the glory. We need to be letting it out. Whether you understand this preposition within or not, we're going to go through it today. We need to understand that the kingdom is within us. Do you think if we had more godly men and women in our government, I'm saying truly godly, not just the ones that say they are, do you think we'd be in the position we're in? Do you think if we had more godly leaders in our churches, we'd be in the position we're in? It's within us. Jesus taught that the kingdom of God come to earth in his ministry. If that's what Jesus taught, guess what? It's here. It is within you. He pointed at his critics. He did point at his critics too, didn't he? He pointed his critics to his miracles as a sign that God was near. Jesus also spoke of the kingdom of God as being something in the future, as the coming kingdom. And that's what we're all looking forward to. But we have to go back and remember that it's already here. It'll just be a different place, won't it? So which aspect of the kingdom does this prayer relate to? Thy kingdom come. Surely it must include both. So let's see how it might relate to our prayers. First one is a petition for the present rule of God in human hearts. Isn't that what we pray for daily? Lord, guide me. Lord, guide me. Lord, touch that person's heart. This is a confession of need. The petition, Thy kingdom come, makes an important admission of God. It can be understood as a confession that another ruler is in charge now. I'll say that again. This is a confession, Thy kingdom come, that another ruler is in charge. If you are a born-again believer, guess what? Your life is not yours. If you think it is, you're not a born-again believer. The world has never been without a ruler, has it? Since the fatal act of Adam in the garden, man has been in the kingdom of darkness, and Satan is its prince. Imagine what things would have been like if Adam just said, Eve, put that fruit down. Do not touch it. But it's not much different these days, is it? We have plenty of snakes slither up to us and say, surely God didn't mean that. Love is love, right? Surely God didn't mean that. Surely the world must be racist. But there's only one race, the human race. So how can we be racist? These are tribal battles, aren't they? So when the snake slithers up to you, just stomp on his head. So this prayer is a petition for the replacement of the rule of Satan in the world with the rule of God through his son, Jesus. Thy kingdom come. Father, I'm not listening to that anymore. I want you to rule my life. It also has a missionary appeal, doesn't it? Thy kingdom come brings strong missionary implications. One of the most difficult prayers we can pray is, Lord, what do you want me to do? Because you know what? When he answers you, he'll give you something to do, and it'll probably be something you don't want. The kingdom of God's present in our hearts right now in a spiritual way. And according to what Jesus told Nicodemus, a spiritual birth is necessary to be transferred from the kingdom of the flesh into the kingdom of God. But this prayer is also personal. There's no point me saying, Lord, your kingdom come into Simon's life. It has to be a personal prayer. Come into my life. Simon can pray for himself. When we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we begin to know his saving power. And that gives us further insight, doesn't it? Sadly, in the Western world, it doesn't seem to happen like this in the East, but in the Western world, we get stuck on our salvation experience. And we go to church. It used to be most weeks, but sometimes we go to church and we warm a pew, we tick a box, and we're born again believers. But we never moved from that salvation experience. We never really understood when we said, Thy kingdom come. We've become progressively aware of the incompetence of God's rule in our lives, don't we? The incompleteness. Because God's not incompetent. It's when we're not doing what we should do. When we're saying, Lord, we'll have that bit because it looks like a blessing. I want the blessings, Lord. Oh, but hang on, I've got to give up this. I can't go to the nightclubs. I can't go to the brothels. I can't go and do this. I can't do that. But I still want your blessing, Lord. I want to rip off my employer, but I still want your blessing, Lord. We can't be doing it. When we really look at it, we can see the incompleteness of God's rule in our lives. Many of you have heard me say before, show me the fruit. Show me the fruit in your life. You're the greatest prophet in the world. Great, show me the fruit of that. We've acknowledged Jesus as Lord, but yet we find ourselves struggling with his lordship, don't we? We've got to apply his lordship to our lives. We find a sinful inclination to withhold part of our lives from his rule. Lord, I'll give you all of that, but I just want to hold on to this little bit. It's just a little bit, Lord. Surely that's okay. No, it's not. That's rebellion. That is lack of faith. And we find a resistance to his rule, don't we? This prayer is personal acknowledgement of our struggle and request that God's rule will be imposed in a more complete way in our hearts. If we have the kingdom in the present and in the future coming, and we still need to pray, thy kingdom come, which we do, there's a rebellion there. I want God's rule imposed in my life even more. So myself and Pastor Amanda want God's rule imposed on our lives even more. Myself and Pastor Amanda and Nick. Any other takers? Chris. Well, it's like an auction. Come on. Can you get that mallet for me, Michael? Sold. Oh, nearly broke that. And this prayer is a submission to his rule, isn't it? Are we really willing to submit to the rule of God? If you say yes, I'm going to ask you, show me the fruit. Thy kingdom come in my heart, Lord. Thy kingdom come in my business. Thy kingdom come in my home. Thy kingdom come in everything I do. Looks a bit different when you join them all together like that, doesn't it? The second thing is there's a future petition for the rule of God in the affairs of the universe. I pray that the Lord really steps into our Queensland government and our federal government. You know, the politicians in the council election that we prayed for actually got in, which is good. Some of us are going on a little bit of secret squirrel stuff at the council next week. But we saw our premier lying through the week, didn't we? Again. Our nurses have the best conditions in the country. The nurses' union, who should be their mates, are going, what the? And he says it with a smile. We need change in government. Airbus Albo is not doing us any favours, is he? We have a foreign minister who is everything against God. So we need to be praying, Lord, your kingdom come into our governments. Absolutely. He does reign. Let me encourage you. They are puppets. Left wing, white, Labor's the left, Liberals are the right wing on the bird. You've heard me say this before. The greens are the tail that's steering it. We have to get change. This is a prayer right here, thy kingdom come, for dethronement of evil. Imagine when we walk into somewhere and we can feel the demonic and we go straight into, oh, we've got to cast that demon out. Why don't we just say, Lord, your kingdom come into this space. It's a lot less work. It's a whole lot less work. Your kingdom come, Lord. Have your way in this place. And then we can deal with anything that comes out later. Jesus never deceived his disciples, ever. He never encouraged them to believe that they would ever be successful in dethroning the alien ruler in the universe. Jesus never said to them, you will dethrone Satan. He never said that, ever. He always made it clear that this would be done by God himself. So why are you out there fighting the devil? You might have a couple of little wins, but you're going to get beaten up. That's God's job. I'm not saying we don't stand against evil, because we do. And if you're not, you should be. I walk a very fine line with what I can say and what I can't say. But guess what? I'm happy to jump over that line. I don't care. I really don't care. I told you all 4 years ago, get your bail money ready. I do not care. If I spend more than 25 hours in prison, you're all in trouble when I get back. I know where most of you live. I'm hoping I get a cell there with Pastor Ken Wigglesworth. That's God's job, isn't it? Why do we keep trying to do his job? Let's just do what he told us to do. The coming of the kingdom of God will involve an invasion of the sovereign king himself. This is the great theme of the last book of the New Testament. If you haven't read Revelation, read it. And read it aloud. It actually tells you there's a blessing in that. We did it last year as a church. Do anyone remember that? Took us hours, didn't it? People left halfway through. But guess what? The blessing was there at the end. I know ministers that are 70-something years old who only just last year started reading the book of Revelation. How do you pastor a church for 50 years? And only read the books of the Bible you like. If you you look at the first couple of lines, or first lines in Genesis and the last line in Revelation. In the beginning, amen. That's it. That's the Bible. That's the bookmarks. In the beginning, amen. God is going to intervene in human affairs. Hallelujah. Get ready for that. I believe it's a lot closer than what we would think. The kingdom of evil over which Satan rules is going to be crushed by the Son of God. So this is a prayer. I mean, we think this is a simple prayer, don't we? Thy kingdom come. Most of us were taught this at school. Satan is going to be crushed. This is a prayer for him to act in that way. It's a prayer for the king to come and bind Satan and put him in the bottomless pit, to dethrone all the enemies of God and to make them his footstool and close down every power that is opposed to God. We are going to see governments fall. A worse one will probably rise. But we're going to see governments fall. We're going to see companies fall. We're going to see churches fall because they're opposed to God. And with this comes the enthronement of Christ. The kingdom's coming will also involve the enthronement of Jesus and his people. This must be just myself and Sue. We're his people. Sue, aren't we? Come on. We are hungry for it. And he will exercise rule on earth with a rod of iron. Little baby Jesus, meek and mild. Good luck with that. The moral plumb line has been dropped. Where do we stand? Amen. If you're waiting for little baby Jesus, meek and mild, to come, you're going to be really disappointed. He is coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. There's been so many visions in this last week of that lion. He's going to be crowned the Prince of Peace because he's going to be a peacemaker. He's not going to come down and go, oh, Satan, you poor little thing, let's just be friends. That's not going to happen. He's not going to come in and say, Islam, you know, we can work together. That's not going to happen. Buddha, come here, brother. That's not happening. He will make peace. That's why we don't give Margaret a microphone either. If we begin to comprehend what this means, we should be making this urgent appeal day after day. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Thy kingdom come. This circumstance in my life, thy kingdom come. The coming of the kingdom is the hope of the whole of creation. We should be able to give an account for that hope for anyone who asks us. Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans that the whole of creation is groaning like a woman in childbirth in the anticipation of the day. Are we not seeing that? Do we not feel as though there's something coming? And it hurts a little bit, doesn't it? To the mothers in the house today, it hurts a little bit, doesn't it? The pain's a beginning, Pastor Amanda. You remember a couple of months ago? The burner's been lit. Remember I said that to you? Yeah, we think it's hot now. The Lord's just lit the fire. It's going to get a whole lot hotter. Amen. I said to someone through the week, I wonder if God sometimes thinks to himself, why did I promise there'd be no other flood? You ever thought that? It'll be fire. The burner's been lit. It's the same game that the enemy's playing, isn't it? Why do you think we have socialism and communism and our young generations love it? It's like trying to boil a frog, isn't it? For decades, society has been in the pot and its water's slowly warming up. But we as believers should be going, try and throw us in that, we're jumping straight out. He's going to exercise rule with a rod of iron. The coming kingdom will also mean the removal of the curse that's on the earth and the restoration of the earth. It's going to be a beautiful experience of redemption and healing for the earth. That's our prayer of hope, isn't it? Thy kingdom come. Coming of the kingdom is the hope of the nations of the earth. Nations. fastest growing church in the world is the Iranian underground church. That should be telling us something. They are happy to die for their faith. We can't get to church if it's raining. I spoke to a few pastors. It was raining last Sunday, wasn't it? I spoke to a few pastors through the week and they all said, you can tell when it's raining, no one comes to church. I am seriously considering, especially for you people watching online, that we don't live stream anymore. If you can't get to church, that's your problem. If you're just watching online, you're being lazy, that's your problem. Get yourself to church. Nations will continue to be troubled with wars and rumors of wars until God comes back, till he sends Jesus. Overnight, Iran have released swarms of drones, two big ones. Even the Jordanians are trying to shoot them down before they get to Israel. Because you know what? When they get to Israel, things are going to change. Hold on to your hats. We have a foreign minister who stands against Israel. But under the rules of Jesus, these destructive weapons are going to be turned into instruments for humankind's welfare. And when Jesus is back, there's going to be no war anymore. Peace will reign in God's kingdom. Why we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Don't worry about praying for peace in our country. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We walked those streets less than a year ago. You could feel the tension. You could feel it, couldn't you, Honey Patty? There'd be parts of Israel you would go into and you could feel it. Something was coming. There were fighter jets circling around. We spoke to people who said, you never see this. It takes 3 minutes to go from one end of Israel to the other in a fighter jet. And they were doing loops for the whole time we were there. We found out just as we were leaving that Israel was expecting war within 2 weeks. It took a little bit longer, but they were thinking that it was coming. Technically, we're supposed to be in Israel in a couple of months' time, but it's not happening. We're going to stay here and we're going to pray for them. Peace is going to reign in God's kingdom, and the coming of God's kingdom is going to give us hope as Christians. And until that kingdom comes in the glorious person of the King, our personal struggles are going to continue. I'm sorry about that, but our personal struggles will continue until he returns. So please don't pray for an easy life. Pray for a kingdom life. Don't pray, Lord, make it easier for me. Pray, Lord, your will be done. We were in a room last year. Aunty Patty was there. 550 believers from 50 nations praying the martyr's prayer. It's touching, wasn't it? Incredibly touching. People from Middle Eastern nations saying, Lord, take me wherever you want. If I have to die there for you, I will do it. That's thy kingdom come. Our biggest challenge is, Lord, get me out of bed on time to get me to church, and I pray there's no red lights on the way. We can laugh at it, but it's true, isn't it? There are people in other nations today that will die for the gospel. And we look outside and there's people wandering around, enjoying their day, out in their boats, at the beach. The surf's quite good today. They're going to hell. What are we doing? They're going to hell. Sickness and death will continue to hold sway over our families until Jesus returns. Isn't it good that we know him? And we can pray for our families. We can pray for healing. We can pray for redemption. Pray for his kingdom to come. Corruption will continue to be expressed in so many forms. But guess what? They're going to start to be exposed shortly. Our struggles with flesh will continue until we see the King face to face. One of the biggest challenges I've had over the last few months is working with the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. I love it. I love it. But I get to talk to Christians every day. That's a challenge. It really is. We're not out in the world, out in the marketplace as much as we used to be. So we need to find a different circle, don't we? If we're just surrounded by Christians, we're not really doing what we're called to do. When the King comes back, we will reign with him. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to reign with him? Are you ready to say, "Thy kingdom come, Lord, in my life, in my business, in those little dark places I don't want you to see"? You ready for him to rule in them? I'm going to finish up here in just a sec, Pastor Amanda. I don't know what you've got planned next. Are you ready for this petition? Thy kingdom come? I'll ask that again. It's probably a good time. As Dr. Bruce would say, amen or oh no? Are you ready to pray this? That's a petition. You know, those people that love decreeing and declaring, start decreeing this. Are you ready to pray it for your personal life? I cast out demons in your name. I didn't know you.